It's an incredible Sunday. We get to discuss the mark that Jesus had when his father, once again, said, "This is my child whom I'm well and pleased," right? So we're going to talk about two gospel texts, the one out of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 9, and then Matthew 17, 1 through 9. And the reason why is they support each other, and we want a full picture. We want to know all the insights of what Jesus is talking about, because here we have this crazy story where Jesus is lifted up and made white, right? Bleached, brighter than any bleach that we can think of. And if you've ever bleached clothes, you know that's pretty white, right? So we have this crazy story, and we need to know why. What happened? So here we go. We have 3 points this morning. Jesus has authority. Now, if you have been worshiping with us the last couple weeks, you would have noticed that probably 3 weeks in a row, we have discussed Jesus having authority. So what does that mean? Jesus has authority. Can I get an amen? Do you believe that Jesus has authority over your life? Amen. All right. So hopefully about 99% of us agree that Jesus has authority. Now, what does that look like? Again, this is that significant day in the Christian church where three years into Jesus' ministry of his 3.5 years, and Jesus gets away. He goes with these disciples, Peter, James, and John, up to a high mountain. He gets away from the distractions of the world in order to hear the voice of God. Now, we're not going to talk about the voice of God because that was like 3 or 4 weeks ago, and you guys want a new sermon every week. So don't think you want to hear the same one. But this is my point this morning. Jesus, to hear the voice of God, gets away with the disciples. And oftentimes, we too need to get away. We need to get away from the world. And I've shared my story here before of my calling in the ministry, right? That really clear, defining moment with Jesus on my mountaintop. Now, I was in Oregon. I wasn't in Israel when it happened for me. But I didn't have a smartphone then, right? Like, they didn't really, I mean, unless you were, like, super wealthy, you didn't have a smartphone, like an iPhone, years ago. So I had a flip phone, okay? I had an old Verizon flip phone. It was one of those durable ones where you could throw it against the wall and it would still work. Those were awesome. So it even had a walkie-talkie on the front of it. But Amanda and I were still dating at that time. I was 17. And I kept sure to be a good boyfriend, since we're on Valentine's Day, that I would go to a certain spot in the mountain so we could talk to each other. Because if not, she couldn't just call me anytime she wanted. There was no cell phone reception. But I believe that's what the Lord wanted. The Lord not to be away from Amanda, but to be away from everything, from all distraction. For at least 10 to 12 hours a day, I was with God. I was in the mountains. I was on the trails. I was on the whitewater rapids of the West Coast. And it was beautiful. And God spoke to me in that moment because I was able to shut my mouth and hear the Lord. And I believe in this story, that's what Jesus is doing for these disciples. Getting them away from the distractions. Getting them away from the nonsense, right? And we hear that God does this throughout the scripture. Now, for me this week, because we don't always talk about the past, right? So this past week, I got to go to St. Matthew's Lutheran, and I can't pronounce the name of the town correctly, but Dean John's church. And I got to see the woods. I got to see the water. I got to see the landscape. And it was beautiful. And he told me a lot of it was just like swampland, which I'm very familiar with being from Louisiana, right? Just wasteland. But God is there in the midst of it. And I got to ask him, what are you calling me to do? What are you telling me to do? And I went over there for this theological conference. But at the end of the day, I asked God, "God, what do you want me to do here at First?" And I won't tell you everything he told me, but I can tell you that God was there. And this morning in the story, we hear really two parallels, right? That both in the passage from Mark and the passage from Matthew. He says, let me keep sure I'm getting here. This is my son. This is my son. Listen to him. Listen to him. And I'm not going to get ahead of my point. But you need to listen to the voice of the Lord. We have to be quiet and listen. So Jesus has authority is our first point. And Peter reacted to all of this by saying to Jesus, Lord, it's good that we're here. If you want, I'll make three shrines. Three shrines. This translation had tents. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, look, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, this is my son whom I dearly love, and I am very pleased with him. Listen to him. So this is where I'm going to not apologize, but just give you a warning. Kind of like when you go to the movies and it tells you, you know, this is rated whatever. In this point that Jesus has authority, it really questions everything within our life. Every little thing of our life. Who is the Lord? So let's define Lord, right? So I know this is in here somewhere. Lord. All right, who's got a dictionary at home still? Look, we got a few people that's actually still got a dictionary. Like, I remember going into class growing up, and there was a dictionary. My children will never experience that. But in the dictionary, I went to dictionary.com. It says, a Lord, a person who has authority, control, or power over others, a master, a chief, a ruler. A Lord has authority over your life. So much so, if you go to a communist country, right, and you rebel against the dictator, what can happen? Prison, dead, death, horrible death, shooting squad, hangings, you name it, right? Sometimes you just disappear. China's number one billionaire just disappeared overnight. No one's heard from him. Billions and billions of dollars this guy's worth because he spoke against the government. Okay? Now, I might get censored online for saying that, but that is what it is. So, all power. Now, this is what our church says about lordship and our constitution at First Lutheran. All power in the church belongs to our Lord Jesus Christ, its head. All actions of this congregation are to be carried out under his rule and his authority. So again, we're talking about authority here. I'm going to quote Joshua 24:15 to you. This is something we actually have hanging in our house. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Familiar? Very familiar passage, right? We will serve the Lord. So I'll tell you this. For our house, for the Blues, I can speak for us, we're going to serve the Lord. Whatever that means. And I pray that 99.99% of this church says the same. For our house, we will serve the Lord, both your personal lives and for the church, right? No matter what we do, we will serve the Lord. Now, this is where it gets real. I remember talking to some people, and they said, well, you know, we have this whole thing about separation of church and state. So when I leave my church on Sunday morning, what the world says is what the world says. What my political party, what my governor, what my president, whoever it is, that's what has authority in my life in the world. I mean, after all, they have the IRS, for goodness sakes, right? They can tax our paychecks. They can take as much money as they want. They can take our homes away from us if we don't pay taxes. But that's not what we're talking about, right? We're talking about our heart and our soul. Who has lordship over our lives this morning? And you got to ask yourselves, if it isn't Jesus, who is it? And what do we need to do about it? Because I can tell you what, I love this country. My family have fought in every war since the American Revolution. There is someone in my family that has given blood, guts, and tears to this country. But at the end of the way, it says this in the scripture, right? The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God remains forever. The word of God remains forever. If this country doesn't exist in 100 years, God still does. God is our king. God is our ruler. If this church ceases to exist, guess what? Those that come after you, God is still there. God is God and we are not. And we have to serve a king that has no term limits, right? Who is not voted in, right? It can't be bought. Talk about the ultimate. Our king cannot be bought. You can't bargain with the Lord. You can't say, I'll do X, Y, Z if you do this. Doesn't work that way. He holds the power. We don't. And the sooner we realize that the Lord holds the power and we don't, I believe it allows us to truly be the children that God calls us to be. Ones that are not afraid, which brings me to point two. We are not afraid. Verse 7 of the Matthew passage tells us this morning. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said, don't be afraid. Now, in the Mark passage, it actually comes before in verse 6. And he said, he did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Now, the disciples were some scary folks. I mean, every time I turn around, I hear a story in scripture where they're scared, right? They're in the boat, right? And it's rocking and it's shaking. Anybody been in a boat when it's rocking and shaking? Okay, it's rocking and it's shaking. And what is Jesus doing? Taking a nap, right? And then they go to Jesus, and Jesus is like, basically, what's wrong? Why are you scared? And what's he do? He goes out and he calms the waters. Instant. He spoke and it happened. Do not be afraid, what Jesus tells us this morning. Our passage from Mark tells us that God the Father is perfect, is in control. See, we as disciples of Jesus have been touched by Jesus. We talked about last week one of my favorite passages where Jesus is moving through the crowds and this woman who had been bleeding for 12 years touched his robe, and it says the power, his power left him, and he looks to this woman and he says, your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you because why? As disciples of Jesus, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid to reach out to Christ and to ask him and beg of him to intervene in our lives. Because let me tell you, life can suck, right? We have issues in life and we might lose a job or we might lose somebody that we love, but Jesus is there. In the midst of the trouble, in the midst of this pandemic, the Lord is there. And we can look back and past pandemics and past plagues. And where was God in the midst of it? What was God doing in the midst of it? And we know that God did some incredible work in the church. See, I had to accept for myself, which is what I'm asking you to do as well, that by accepting that Jesus is Lord is accepting that I can't be afraid. That Jesus will calm the storms of my life. That Jesus will know what to do with me and sort it all out. He knows what to do with my calling for ministry. He knows my heart. He knows what's going on in my family, my health conditions, my wife's health conditions, my poor daughter and her stomach that just we can't get right. He knows everything. And he is the Lord of my life. And when Jesus is the Lord of my life, what can I do? I can charge into a building that's full of flames. Deacon Jim, you might be able to relate to that, right? You can charge at the world and at whatever chaos is happening because God is on our side. So we have to accept, are we willing to be a witness for Jesus, or do we want to sit on the sidelines? But I challenge you this, if you're going to sit on the sidelines, I think there's a passage in there that talks about being lukewarm as Christians. I don't think it's actually acceptable to be on the sidelines. I'd say, amen. It's not acceptable to be on the sidelines. God wants everything from us. Which brings us to point three. It's to tell others about Jesus. Now, notice in this passage, okay? The end of the passage on both Mark and Matthew, it tells us this. And they were coming down the mountain, and Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. We praise a living Savior, Jesus Christ, our King. We're going to sing that on Easter morning, probably. Maybe. At least where I grew up. We serve a risen Savior. Jesus rose from the dead. He did the impossible. And modern science would say we're a bunch of crazy lunatics. But guess what happened? It's called a miracle. A miracle of the cross. A miracle of Jesus. A miracle of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus, God, does the impossible. He fulfilled the Old Testament prophecy. He fulfilled the law. Because what does the Bible tell us? He came to fulfill it, not to abolish it. It proves the divinity of Jesus once again. And then he tells us to tell, right? So 49 times in the New Testament, Jesus gives us this command to go out and tell. But yet, again, the modern believer has a hard time telling others about Jesus. And I shared this illustration. It's not in my sermon notes, okay? And I don't know if it'll become an opportunity or not. Is Ricky Lee in here? Okay, so I'm going to talk about my kid because it's not in here. So we read all these yesterday, okay? And I keep trying to, like, I apologize and he goes up to this random boy that's behind us. He starts talking to him. He's probably 8 or 9. And he's like, Dad, can you give him your phone number so he can call you later? And he just kept on and on and on. He wants me to give this kid my phone number. And I don't want to be looked at like one of those weirdos, you know. So I finally go up to the lady and I said, yeah, I'm the pastor at First Lutheran, which I don't normally tell people because then they treat you differently. And I said, I'm the pastor at First Lutheran, and I gave her my work cell phone number. And come to find out, she was friends, and I don't think they're here right now either, Logan and Steve. They knew Logan and Steve that's been coming to church here. I said, yeah, they come to church with us. And then Ricky Lee invites them to Sunday school, to church, wants to have a play date with them, right? If that's not evangelism, I don't know what is. My son gets it. He's 5 years old, but he gets it. He has shared his faith more than most adults that I have encountered that I know personally. He is incredible. And I felt bad about it afterwards. Like, I kept apologizing for what perhaps what the Holy Spirit was doing. Maybe the Holy Spirit was speaking to Ricky Lee in that instant to invite that kid to church. Who knows what's going on in that kid's life? I don't know. I can tell you that God is at work. As part of our faith community, I don't care how uncomfortable it is time to tell the world of a risen Savior that loves you. A God of the universe that brings order to chaos, that brings love to a community that needs it. Man, there are a lot of hurting people in this community. And I've spoken to them. I mean, they come to the church looking for assistance. They walk the streets. There's homeless people all over the place. People addicted to drugs and alcohol, right? You know them. There are people that are like me and you. Working professionals. Make a good living. They have a good family life. but they're dead on the inside. All right? You don't have to be poor and you don't have to be homeless to need Jesus. We all need him. And so today, this is what I ask. I ask you to take this scripture of Jesus turning white as snow. Jesus being bleached more so than any white in the world. And I ask you to be a reflection of that. To be a beacon of hope, a beacon of light. So when people come through these walls, these doors, when they see you out in the community, when they see you at work, they wonder why you're so different. Perhaps they even think you're odd. I told the last service, I don't want them to be odd, but I changed my mind. I want us to be odd, right? Where people know there's something unique and different about each and every one of you. Because you have a relationship with Jesus. Something that is changing in this world where people don't have that active faith anymore. I want us to have that faith where we can charge through burning buildings. Where we can go up to random people, even in the midst of COVID, and say, you know, I'd love to see you in church sometime. I'd love to cook you dinner. And I don't know about you all, but in the South, where I'm from, if someone invites you for dinner or brings you food, that's like the ultimate hospitality. When I had lunch with Pastor John, we had a mortician in the community buy us breakfast. And I'm like, you know, that's kind of strange. And I found out the guy had bought us breakfast twice. The last time I was over there, he caught us in a restaurant. Ultimate hospitality. But it showed who he was. Who he was. So, praise be to God. Thank you to God for this holy scripture this morning. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your holy word. May your Holy Spirit spill out into this congregation. May people come to know you as their Lord, their Savior. God, when we say Lord, God, that we surrender it all to you, to your will, whatever that is. God, that we embrace what you have called our church to embrace. God, whatever that is for your mission, for your glory, lead us into the future. Lead us in the present. God, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.